Hey, Leading Learning listener, if improving as a learning business professional is one of your goals for 2026, make sure to go to leadinglearning.com/summit.
The Learning Business Summit is the only event laser-focused on professionals who lead and work in market-facing businesses that serve adult learners. Across 3 days online, you'll connect with peers and experts to strengthen both your knowledge and your network.
Featuring hands-on practitioners and subject matter experts, the live education sessions are designed for participation, reflection, and, most importantly, action to boost the reach, revenue, and impact of your learning business.
And because leveraging technology is essential for any learning business, the summit also includes demos of LearnTech platforms.
It all happens online January 27th, 28th, and 29th. Go to leadinglearning.com/summit to get all the details and join us for the Learning Business Summit.
Now, on with the episode. Providing learning paths, offering valued credentials, and aligning with employer needs, each of those three activities is powerful on its own. But the combination of the three is even more potent, and it's a bullseye we believe it's worth learning businesses aiming for.
I'm Salisa Steele.
I'm Jeff Cobb, and this is the Leading Learning Podcast. We often tout the importance of impact. It's one of the three goals we believe are at the heart of most learning businesses: reach, revenue, and impact.
And we believe that that critical impact piece is broad, meaning ideally you're learning a business through its products and services is delivering significant and relevant results for your learners, yes, and also for the organizations that employ those learners, and for the fields, professions, and industries those learners work in.
So we want to offer one approach to making sure you're providing relevant results in today's episode, number 430.
But before we get to that approach, let's talk about the context, because we believe it's important to understand the context.
Indeed it is. And you know, the world, and by extension, the employment market that all of those learners were serving or working in, those have evolved tremendously in recent years. You can just think about, you know, all of the digital transformation initiatives that you hear about, the rapid expansion of artificial intelligence and automation, particularly recently, the dynamics of global trade. And those are just a few of those sort of big picture items that are the tip of an iceberg that just has so much underneath it.
And all of that has contributed to a growing focus on reskilling, upskilling, and general workforce development.
Indeed. It's you hear lots of buzz still about those terms, reskilling, upskilling. They've been out there for years, but they're not going away. We keep hearing about them, general workforce development, the importance of lifelong learning, and we're now, I think, starting to see more and more a demand for more targeted and more sophisticated approaches to all of that adult education and training that needs to be going on, that we know needs to be going on.
And the money being spent on the adult education and training and learning that we know needs to happen, that's big money.
It is indeed. So if you look at, say, the Association for Talent Development, ATD's 2023 State of the Industry report, the average organization is investing about $1,220 in U.S. dollars per employee.
And in the U.S., the amount of state funding allocated to workforce development more than doubled between 2011 and 2020.
Yeah, we'll stay in the U.S. here for just a minute. At the federal level, it's not growing at the same rate, but there's still big investment at that federal level, $30 billion annually.
Right, in workforce development.
In workforce development, yeah.
And then if we kind of broaden our lens even more and look at the global continuing education market, that's been valued by some sources at $33.6 billion in 2022. And with projections for tremendous growth, so that it would be $58 billion US by 2030.
So these are just some of the figures that are out there. You can come up with a lot of them, but big numbers that are suggesting major and growing focus on ensuring that adults are prepared for productive careers and then are supported in learning throughout their working life.
And we believe that learning businesses have a major role to play in this situation, to play in supporting those adults throughout their working life.
Indeed, we do. And, that, of course, that's partly because you know, employers really can only provide so much of the training and learning that's needed out there.
Right. They can and probably should provide some of the training that's needed. And we're seeing evidence that employers are starting to think of themselves as longer-term professional development providers for their employees. They're really kind of taking that on as part of their identity.
They are indeed, and we're seeing academic institutions do that as well. But, you know, they're topics that can and should come from outside sources and learning businesses that focus on a particular field or industry, as many associations do, for example, are a natural partner and a major player in providing the needed education and training.
And those learning businesses, along with the employers, operate in what we characterize as the third sector of education. So if you think about the first sector being K through 12 education, really pre-K through 12, and then you have the second sector being higher ed for that subset of folks who move on after high school and take some college. But then we have this third sector that really needs to serve adult learners, you know, once they leave the formal academic education setting and begin work and continue to live, and they are going to have a long working life. In many cases, it might be several decades. We've called it the other 50 years at times.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's a time now to step back and figure out what really works in serving those other 50 years, that third sector. You know, if you're a learning business and you're thinking about supporting these lifelong learners, you're thinking about supporting the organizations that they're working for, you're thinking about supporting the fields and industries that they are a part of, what's the approach to doing that effectively? And when we look at our research and combine that with decades at this point of consulting experience with a wide range of organizations, we're seeing more and more that successful learning businesses are starting to center their strategies around employment market needs broadly in a way that serves employers, way that serves the learners themselves, and ways that serve the broader industry with more clarity, I think, than we've seen in the past. And we can talk a little bit about what our data and what our experience are showing at this point.
And that gets back to impact that we opened with, that idea of you align around employment market needs. It's going to help ensure that the results that you're helping to deliver as a learning business are relevant and real and valued in the marketplace.
At Tagoras, we partner with professional and trade associations, continuing education units, training firms, and other learning businesses to help them understand market realities and potential, to connect better with existing customers and find new ones, and to make smart investment decisions around product development and portfolio management. Drawing on our expertise in lifelong learning, market assessment, and strategy formulation, we can help you achieve greater reach, revenue, and impact. Learn more at tagoras.com/more.
So we want to raise some other data points. We cited some numbers around the size of the market, what's being spent on all of this needed training and education that adult workers and learners need. But we also have some of our own data that we can share and that we'd like to draw on.
We do. So at the end of the past several years, we've conducted a survey to determine what learning businesses are already doing. So, you know, what they've already been doing during the course of that year and up until then, and then how they plan to focus their educational efforts and resources in the coming year.
We ask about 14 different focus areas. And again, like you were saying, Jeff, we ask, are you already doing something in these areas? Are you planning to start doing something in the coming year? Or do you not have plans to do anything with this in the year ahead?
And again, we've asked about those 14 areas over a number of years now. So we've been able to see kind of how they evolve and what kind of picture they paint of what learning businesses are doing or plan to do. And so when we asked at the end of 2023, looking out for 2024 and what we might expect to happen in 2024, three areas stood out for us as potentially related when it comes to how learning businesses can create significant impact in supporting not just the individual learner, but also those employers and the broader profession or industry that the learning business serves.
And so here are those three areas. The first is aligning offerings with specific career or job paths relevant to learners. And so that could be through something like a competency model or a learning pathway or a targeted curricula. And of the respondents to our survey at the end of 2023, 83.5% reported already doing or planning to do something in that area around aligning offerings with career or job paths.
And so then in addition to that, we asked about pursuing new or alternative approaches to credentialing, which could include things like certificate programs, micro-credentials, and digital badges. And 73.4% of respondents reported already doing or planning to pursue that as an area, the newer alternative approaches to credentialing.
And then the third area we want to mention is integration of educational offerings into the learning and development programs of employers in a field or industry or into general workforce development needs. And 69.4% of respondents to our survey reported already doing or planning to do that in 2024.
And so if you take those three together, so you've got the paths, these are career or job paths, alternative credentials, and then satisfying an employer need or general workforce development need. And if you picture those as a Venn diagram with three intersecting circles, hopefully not too hard to do, even if you're listening to an audio podcast, just think of those three intersecting circles. And right there in the middle where those three circles overlap, you get what we think of as a bullseye.
Because when learning businesses provide education and training offerings that align to a career path or a job path, if they offer a credential around that path that is viewed as valid and is useful in the employment market, and if they do all of this in a way that integrates into the programs and needs of the employers in the field or industry they serve, then tremendous value is created for all those stakeholders. That's the bullseye, as you just called it, Jeff, and that's what we think learning businesses can aim for.
So why do we think that this is a bullseye to aim for? Why does it matter so much?
Well, I think as many learning business leaders have already realized, learner expectations have risen significantly. They're really expecting a lot more from educational experiences that they invest in. I think a lot of expectations changed as a result of experiences during COVID, for example.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people certainly came out of COVID with different viewpoints on online learning. And I think that influenced then how they think about face-to-face learning. You know, we're seeing that both learners and their employees are seeking, their employers are seeking more value for their investment in both face-to-face and online education. And that the, you know, the traditional conference approaches and traditional online educational offerings are increasingly perceived as not necessarily providing that level of value that they're seeking.
And so on top of all that, you know, we have a world where competition for a learner's attention is really, really high. Just getting through to somebody, getting read in their inbox, that can be incredibly difficult. There's also then competition for wallets. You know, what will that learner choose to spend their limited dollars on? And then also there's competition for the employer's wallets as well. What are they willing to invest in on behalf of their employees? And so being able to hit this bullseye that we just described, that can really stand a learning business out as the education provider in whatever its specific field or industry is.
Yeah, definitely, you know, much easier to get attention and to get a share of wallet if you can say that you know, this is really providing that pathway for the learner. It's got some good credential standing behind it. It's really meeting a market need. People are just much more likely to say, well, A, to pay attention to that in the first place, as we're saying, and then be willing to spend money for it. But we recognize that hitting that kind of bullseye, I mean, we're talking about fairly sophisticated stuff here, learner pathways, alternative credentials, thinking about this whole world of workforce development. So hitting that sort of bullseye requires a level of strategic focus and potentially resources beyond what a learning business may currently have at its disposal or what it's been accustomed to doing.
And if that sounds like you, if you're sort of listening to this and thinking, wow, you know, this sounds like a lot to bite off, you know, one place that we recommend you can start is by assessing your current situation and really understanding what the gaps are that are potentially preventing you from being able to execute on this kind of strategy. And we do have a tool that we've talked about before that we think can be helpful in helping you understand your situation. That's the Learning Business Maturity Model.
Yeah, because this really is about how highly tuned are you as a learning business that has the capacity and the capabilities to deliver this kind of experience, to deliver this kind of value and impact that we're talking about here. And the Learning Business Maturity Model and the accompanying assessment, they give you a way to get a view into that and to determine, are we the type of organization that can deliver this kind of value that we're talking about, that can hit this kind of bullseye for our market? Or do we have areas that we need to do work in? And the model and the assessment are going to help you identify those areas. Like, this is where we need to be able to improve if we are going to be the sort of market leading learning business that can provide this type of value, this type of experience for learners, their employers, and this field or industry that we serve.
And another thing we can say is, if you're thinking, wow, this sounds like a lot to do to hit this bullseye, I think this is a place where you can think about partnerships. We like to talk about partnerships a lot on the podcast. And it's in part because we do believe that when those players operating in that third sector can complement each other, there's a lot of value to be delivered to the learner and the employer and the field, profession, and industry by partnering and collaborating when appropriate. So, you know, maybe you as the learning business don't necessarily have to, quote, own the digital credential or the certificate program that might be part of this bullseye. But if you're in partnership with someone who is owning that piece of it, and you're tightly collaborating, you can still sort of achieve those three pieces. It just may be that you're bringing two and someone else is bringing kind of one piece of the puzzle.
Yeah. And this may be, you know, we mentioned earlier, you mentioned, Salisa, that employers themselves, at least the, I think the larger and more sophisticated ones who maybe have a dedicated learning and development function, are starting to take this whole idea of professional development and continuing education much more seriously in how they're thinking about things. You know, they're most likely coalitions of employers within your field that you can be in partnership with. We mentioned in passing that academic institutions are getting much more interested in this, continuing education, professional development becoming much more of a focus. You know, a lot of times they've got the content, they may have the connections in their particular region of the country or whatever the case might be, but just fertile opportunities for partnering in a variety of different ways to meet what is going to be a very dynamic and evolving need. There really is no one organization that can address a need like this. Partnerships, I think, are just so key to doing this.
And delivering the type of value, the kind of impact that's at the center of this Venn diagram that we're talking about, you know, we're getting to the point where that's kind of table stakes. That's what people are going to expect. Again, they're looking for that high return on investment. So being able to deliver that kind of impact, that kind of value, isn't going to be optional. Learners and employers just have too many other options or too many competing demands to make the investment if they can't be assured that there's some sort of big return and some real value and significant results in that investment.
So, you know, our view is now is the time to pull back, consider approaches like learning paths, career paths that we've talked about here, consider alternative credentials, credentialing in general, how that fits into how you're serving your market, consider how you're supporting the workforce in your particular field or industry, what support can your organization provide, pull back and consider those three things, those three overlapping circles in that Venn diagram, and then aim for that bullseye. Providing learning paths, offering valued credentials, and aligning with employer needs, each of those three activities is powerful on its own. But the combination of the three is even more potent, and it's a bullseye we believe it's worth learning businesses aiming for.
At leadinglearning.com/episode430, you'll find show notes, a transcript, and options for subscribing to the podcast. If you haven't yet, please subscribe.
And we'd be grateful if you would take a minute to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen, especially if you enjoy the show. Salisa and I personally appreciate reviews and ratings, and they help the podcast show up when others search for content on leading a learning business.
And please spread the word about Leading Learning. You can do that in a one-on-one conversation or email to a colleague, and you can do it through social media. In the show notes at leadinglearning.com/episode430, follow the link to connect with us on LinkedIn.
Thanks again, and see you next time on the Leading Learning Podcast.